I don't think that it is the child's place to get the money directly. Like, child support is not for the child. I mean, it's supposed to be to take care of the child, but it doesn't go directly to the child.
No one is able to persevere in relationships, so whenever they face adversity in their life, they just abandon the task and they go on to something else.
You might grow up thinking that's normal to be in an unhappy relationship, to be mistreated, you know, to be with somebody that's nagging you all the time, like, just to be so unhappy. And I think the problem with being that so unhappy is that it feeds into everything.
When a kid starts telling you about yourself, it's disrespectful. No, you need to step your shit up and be a better parent. No, you need to step your shit up and be a better role model. That's just what it is. It's not disrespect. It's called reality.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Ada to Table. Today we have our usual crew. My name is Amanda.
My name is Big Hundo.
Romeo.
Girl, you're in a game.
Romeo's voice, we swap voices.
It's Romeo.
Romeo.
Hit me a little bit.
Romeo the Bullo.
Wait, what? Okay, yeah. So today we're doing a little impromptu conversation. So earlier, Erin was talking about a conversation her and her line sisters were having about something that, you know, popped up on social media earlier today. So, Erin, let's hear the situation.
Sure.
Okay.
Y'all, listen to this. So Lonnie says she's going to find the rest of it, but yep. My line sisters had this in our group chat. And so, you know, people were chiming in. This is actually posted on the radio station, like the main radio station in Houston. So shout out 97.9 The Box. It says, my 16-year-old daughter feels entitled to my child support I get from her father. How would you handle this? I also think her father is putting things in her head. Either way, the money he sends is for me to care for her, and she doesn't grasp paying my bills, which also benefits her siblings, is part of this. And so I guess this is her, like, hey, give me some advice, you know, intro to the radio station. And this is the text that the daughter wrote to her mom. What?
This is funny. Okay.
My dad told me how much he pays you in child support, and he showed me. I just don't understand how my dad pays $1,900 in child support. When I ask for something, you say no. Also, you use the money my dad sends to take care of me to spend on Erin and Jess, who I assume are her other siblings, and likely they don't share the same dad. That's just my assumption. Sorry, what was it? Okay. When I ask for something, it's always a problem, and you threaten to take my phone away when I do anything you don't like. If it wasn't for me being here and my dad paying you, if it wasn't for me being here, she misses some words, and my dad paying, you couldn't afford to keep the house. I do love you, but I feel like you take advantage of having me here. I'd rather live with my dad, and I just want you to know for it to happen without making a big issue. I don't think it's right. I don't benefit from my dad's child support, yet you spend it. It appears that there's more to this, but I don't know.
That's exactly, God forbid, that's how my daughter would be, though. I know how my daughter's coming.
Sounds like there's more going on in the house.
I don't know. I can't really say there got to be something more to the story. It just sounds like a spoiled child.
She's spoiled?
No, a little bit. Just a little. That sounds spoiled to me because I don't think that it is the child's place to get the money directly. Like, child support is not for the child. I mean, it's supposed to be to take care of the child, but it doesn't go directly to the child. It is for the parent to take care of the child. So if the money that is being given to the mother is to pay the house bills, is to make sure the child has groceries and has lunch or whatever for the week, like, that's what the mother has to do with the money.
What about the other thing?
It's not, well, and even if she decides to, like, give the child like allowance once a week with that money, then that's her prerogative as a parent. But it's not like, okay, yeah, daddy paid the child support, give me my half or give me whatever. Like, no child does that. That's not for you to do.
But there's other kids in the house that aren't
that are benefiting, yeah,
that are benefiting off of her portion of.
Well, I would think, because if the mom is going to the grocery store to make sure that everybody has lunch, like if that comes out of the 1900 for everybody to benefit from the groceries that I put in the house, then that's just what it is.
Where are the other kids' fathers?
Am I taking the money that my baby father number one is giving me to only say, okay, let me make sure Leslie has lunch for the week, but I don't know. I'm gonna wait till baby daddy number two gives me money for the other two.
That's what you get. That's because God knows you're saying some off the wall outrageous shit and your ring fell off.
Yeah. You would not.
How much money that there? Like, what does she get?
Like, no.
I want you to. Are you done?
I am done.
Let her cook.
What is she cooking?
Go ahead.
Y'all seem like y'all all against me already, so go ahead. No, what y'all got to say? I'm already done speaking.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Whoever.
Can I just say something? I don't know how it is in other states, but in the state of New Jersey, there's a class that you have to take when you putting someone on child support where they explain that the money that you get from child support is supposed to be for the household. So it's supposed to be to pay the water, the electric, the house, the food, whatever it is that you need in order to support the household where the kid lives. So I don't know if this happens everywhere, but it should.
Interesting.
No, it should not.
We need to take a class?
No, well, the thing is, what she said was that the money is for the household. And that's where I draw the line when it comes to, bro, it's a hard stop.
Like in my mind, that's all I'm
saying. Like,
that's why
I draw the line. Because like the thing is, I can't imagine, first of all, $1,900 a month is a lot of money. Like that's one.
Good amount.
That's definitely.
You don't know how they got to that conclusion that that's how much he got to pay. Just saying.
Well, regardless, it's $1,900 a month or $1,900 that she's, you know, asking for.
No, that she gets.
Right? Well, I'm saying the daughter's asking for it.
I think she's asking for the $1,900.
Certain things.
Yeah.
She's just saying, like,
and that's my issue.
Money, and, like, whenever I ask for something, it's a no.
And you can't tell that child no if that child is getting $2,000 roughly a month. If that child is bringing in $2,000 a month, do not tell that child you're going to take their phone away. Now, there's different ways that you can, because you're not paying for it. I don't care. It's like, if I'm the dad.
Could the kids be the parents these days?
No, it's not that kids be the parents. It's just that at some point in time, you're not even a parent because you're not even doing the providing for that child. The child doesn't want to live with you, right? So clearly the child's being forced to live with you. Secondly, the child knows that you are not making money. You cannot keep up the bills in this house. My father is paying for the bills for you and two other niggas' kids. So where do you have the bargaining, or where do you have
risk?
What happened?
I don't think that there's probably a conversation going on between the father and the daughter, because she's probably asking him for something, and he's saying,
"I'm paying you $2,000 a month.
This much a month,
but that's fair though.
You should be able to get it."
And that's the thing. Like I'm a huge advocate for child support being spent the right way. It is to be. If I had to come up with a solution, it'll be, okay, a portion of this rent is going to be taken. A portion of this child support is going to be used to the rent, right? Or a mortgage, whatever it may be. But when you say that I'm paying $1,900 a month, my daughter doesn't have clothes, or she doesn't even get to have, you know, expenses, you know, just leisure expenses.
16-year-olds.
Yeah, every week. And then you're threatening her phone that you don't even pay for. And if you take away my daughter's phone, now, you take away the ability for me to communicate with my child, and you're not even paying for it realistically. This is an issue that I have. So, yeah, I do feel like out of that $1,900, the child should be getting, if you're not going to give it to the child right now, because you may think that, or deem that they're too young or, you know, foolish with money, put it in some type of account for them to where they can actually get something by the time they turn 18.
I just feel like, where does the parenting come in? Because a child telling the mom, saying, like, you say no whenever I ask for something, a mother is allowed to say no. You ask for some bullshit, she can say no. okay? There is no like, oh, well, my daddy pays $1,900 a month for me, so I should be getting everything I ask for. It doesn't, like, life does not work like that. And children should not even be allowed to say that. Like, you're 16 years old. Like, please don't come step to me like this. I really don't understand this situation and why there's even two sides to it.
I don't think that there should be a no without reason.
Sounds like they put the child in between.
Right.
The whole.
Yeah, and it does, because she even said, I feel like the father is putting stuff in her head, because why is the dad even showing her how much he pays in child support?
Just the 16 years old. She's a fucking adult, damn near. 2 years should be an adult.
You're probably asking for money for, I don't know, your sports at school, for go hang out on the weekend, clothes.
Maybe a car.
Yeah, like money for anything. I feel like at 16, the expenses are not the same as when you're six, you know? And so, I mean, when you have a 16-year-old, you do have to do these things for your kid, you know? Otherwise, they probably gonna go out stealing or something, or, you know, find another way to get the money.
But that's a good point. The it's not the same. 6 and 16 is definitely not the same. So how do you know that the $1,900 that was covering her when she was 16 years old and she could get everything and not have to ask for anything, and shit is different now that she's 16, and now it's just like, all right, maybe I can't afford to get you that $900 shoes that all of your friends are sporting around with, or, you know, whatever the fuck a 16-year-old is going to want.
So this is the point that I was making about being 6 and 16. My understanding is that in some states, as the child grows and the cost of care changes, everything is reevaluated. When cost of living adjustments happen, everything is reevaluated. Hell, if one of the parents lose their job, everything is reevaluated. Somebody starts to make a significant amount more in their salary, it's reevaluated. You know, so I made the point about 6 versus 16 is that you have to understand you have a 16-year-old. There's more stuff that they're going to need and more stuff that they're going to want. You know, like, let's say you were a 16-year-old cheerleader at your high school, or you want to go have tennis lessons, or you need tutoring. That's all the stuff that comes with that. You don't necessarily need that at 6. So that's why I was saying the amount of money, you know, is different. And I think that, like you said, her father, you know, she's asking, hey, daddy, can I get whatever, you know, I don't know, $70 for my such and such. And he's like, I just sent your mama $1,900. Like, why? It's crazy. He said, did you ask her?
Yeah. She said no.
What did she say? Tell me no.
Why?
So now the dad is like, damn, I'm paying $1,900, you know, and I understand it's not going to always cover everything, but.
That's the only point. Sometimes it don't cover everything. So if she don't got the $70, she don't got it. And honestly, it's a simple conversation between parents at that point. Did you ask your mom? She said no. Yo, hey, she needs to do this, and you said she couldn't. Like, what happened? And y'all talk about that. Y'all talk about how the expenses are being carried out about your child. That's it.
Saying she
children.
Children,
because she's spending the money on two other kids that ain't his fucking responsibility.
But it was specifically.
No, it did say.
It doesn't say it, but it infers it.
She said that the food and all that goes to. You give the money to...
I'll read it. It says, also, you use the money my dad sends to take care of me to spend on Aaron and Jess.
Plain and simple. So, like I'm saying, you decided to live with multiple men and have kids with multiple men. Do not use one man's money to take care of your fuck-ups. Point blank. So now, when it gets to a point where you're telling my daughter no on the money that I set for my daughter because you spent it on your other kids, that is not right for my child. You're taking away from my child that I'm already working for and trying to provide while I'm outside of this home. It's an issue. And now you got my child asking me, why is mommy telling me no? Why does mommy not having money? And I don't understand why she don't got money, because she worked probably. And I know she's getting the $2,000 extra a month. This is wild.
Well, my thing is, do y'all expect your children not to ask the father for anything? Like, do you expect to go to the father's house and the father, their response to their child asking them for something is, oh, I gave your mom money for the month already?
No.
Like, is your child not supposed to ask you for nothing because you give the mother money?
That's not happening unless you're asking me all the time and I'm trying to figure out where is the money going. So at this point,
that would be a problem if it happened all the time.
That's how this has happened. Yes.
We don't know, but it seems to infer that. Let's just say that.
I'm assuming. Yeah. Like, I don't like when parents tell kids no just to say no. Like, there's a difference between saying no because I don't want you to be spoiled. There's a difference between saying no because right now I'm not financially able. But some parents just say no to enforce authority is not a healthy parenting skill. And I think that's what ends up happening.
He doesn't teach the kid anything.
It just makes the kid an asshole and then resentment towards you. I mean, to be honest, I don't know about that mom, but for me, I would feel like it would bother me if my child told me that they didn't want to live with me anymore. And I think that screams a lot of other issues that are happening between that child and that mom. I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong, but there's something that is consistently happening for this child to say, I don't want to live here. And then now we're seeing the results.
So just to play devil's advocate, she is 16. She probably got too much dip on her chip. You know, she's feeling herself a little bit, you know, and let's be honest, she's a 16-year-old girl. She's damn near grown.
Her dad got money. He paid $2,000 a month.
And so...
But she's I'm sorry to cut you off. She's also seeing that there, if she is 16, she's also smart enough to know that you're getting money from two kids, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's probably doing the math, and she's saying, this shit don't add up. Yeah. Maybe she's not being disrespectful. Maybe she's fed up, and maybe she has plans for her life outside of this house, and the only way that's going to happen if she goes...
So I don't disagree with that. I actually, my response to my line sisters was that, shit, if she want to go live with her daddy, let her. You know what I mean? Because it seems like if she moves out, there's going to be an issue. You know, and that's
$1,900.
Yeah. And then she won't be able to afford rent.
Money thing, you know. The reason why
she said it. The only reason why you can afford it, I mean, the only reason why you have this house is because my dad is paying you.
So that's probably...
So that's what, like, the thing is, and I think... My bad. Go ahead.
I just want to finish this point. So I'm just thinking, just to play devil's advocate, she's a teenager.
And that was something very rude to say.
A mother and a daughter is going to be beat. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, it's going to be some kind of beef because it's only one queen of the castle. It don't matter about child support. It don't matter about none of that. It's one queen of the castle. And when you start to hit them higher teenage years, you start feeling yourself. Yeah, it's going to be a clash. So, again, just to sort of give the mom some grace, you know, like, she probably dealing with just other stuff with her teenage daughter, you know. So, I just think we should keep that in mind, even though I still agree that the kid should be getting some money. Even if the mom is giving her, like, I don't know, $100 a week or $150 a week, you know. And mm-hmm. even if she got to, you know, do chores for it. As long as, because one, the chores is going to help her just an adult and to be like a functional human, but she's still going to be able to get the money and she sees where it's coming from.
The thing that we also got to like remember is that 16 is damn near an adult legally. Legally, 16 is damn near an adult. In two more years, you are a legal adult. Whether or not you can drink, you have the capacity to understand and make proper decisions. Right, to some extent. Now,
maybe not the capacity, but
well, legally, that's what the law sees you as.
Adult.
So, like, the thing is,
see who they was feeling themselves at 16.
But at 16, I mean,
a senior in high school. Boom.
At 16.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, I was senior in the streets.
So you must have.
I
know.
But the problem is
you, him.
But at 16, you got to also think. I think a lot of this is when kids start to realize who their parent really is and what they really are.
Damn, that's
so if I realize that my dad is doing whatever he's doing and he's doing that's keeping the lights on here, and without me being here, these lights in this house no longer exist, that goes to show just by mathematics, common sense, you're not making any money because $2,000 a month,
she's not making enough for a household.
Yeah, she's not making enough for a quarter of a household because there's not much more you need with $2,000 a month. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we don't even know. Number one, honest, that statement was just so not loaded at all. The like, if it wasn't for me being here and my father paying you, you wouldn't be able to afford. Like, is that something you're just saying to be rude? Or is there any truth to that? Either she knows it's the truth or this what her dad
knows. She knows it's the truth.
It's just so disrespectful to me.
Damn,
like,
I didn't even see the disrespect.
I saw the truth, and I think parents can't handle the truth when a kid tells them it, and that's the reality. When a kid starts telling you about yourself, it's disrespectful. No, you need to step your shit up and be a better parent. No, you need to step your shit up and be a better role model. That's just what it is. It's not disrespect. It's called reality. And the only one that probably knows you just as much as the person that slept with you is your child. And your child's been with you for 16 years and watched you not do much and watched you not be much. And now your child is coming at you because you are not somebody that they look up to. They look eye to eye on. And that's why they're talking to them like that. They're not talking to her. She's not talking to her like that because she respects her. It's hard to have respect for somebody you watch doing nothing. It's hard to have respect when you watch somebody failing, or hard to watch have respect for watching somebody take advantage of your other parent. And then you want them to sit here and look at you as if you are a queen of the castle and you ain't nothing but another pawn.
I mean, you are the queen of the castle, Joe Howe.
Yeah, I mean, barely, because when she step out and go, that house is gone. Like, and at 16, she probably can make that legal choice to say, I don't want to live here no more.
She absolutely can. And personally, I do believe that if she feels that, you know, because of whatever rift she may have with her mom, and even just outside of the child support thing, if she feels like she'll be in a better position at her dad's, I think she should go.
And the grass ain't green on the other side.
Honestly, if I was the mother reading that text, I would have said, then go.
No.
No.
But the mom said, my
house. There has to be a reason why she's not with the dad.
Owes to her.
The dad probably don't want her in his house. Because
no.
At 13, you can actually go to the court and speak and say, I no longer want to live with my mom. I want to live with my dad.
And yeah, but when the child gets to move in with the dad, right, then there's no child support needed to be paid. You think you still see $1,900 a month, little girl?
No, but I guarantee she'll be getting a lot more.
The house.
Yeah.
It goes to the household, right. So he doesn't have to pay the mother. She's no longer living with the mother. Hell, at this point, the mama, well, she'll making the money. I say the mama have to pay her. I mean, pay the dad, but we don't know what she makes.
And my thing is, at the reality of the situation is that we can't sit here and try to castrate? Like,
just use the regular.
Whatever. We can't sit here and throw shots at the daughter, right?
Say T words.
Because the thing is, it's like, I don't understand why people don't like being checked. Like, I don't like that. Sometimes you're bugging. I don't care if you're the mom, dad, son, whoever you have, sometimes you're bugging and you need to be better. And
sometimes you need to know how to talk to your motherfucking parents.
But that doesn't happen overnight. Like, this situation don't happen overnight. The mom is over. First of all, the mom
should know how to fucking talk to me.
No, that's not what he's saying. I think what he's saying is that, like, there's a buildup to why, you know, she's feeling this way, such that she's so fed up. She's coming to her mom like this.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I don't feel she was disrespectful for a 16-year-old, but I can see why somebody would say that. At the end of the day, she's a fucking kid. There's a lot that she doesn't know how to express, you know. That's some shit I would have said at 16.
They need mediation.
I know better now, you know, as I've gotten older. But as a 16-year-old, I'm assuming she probably did the best that she could in being respectful and also, like, showing her mother, like, yo, this is a problem.
The mom said, my daughter feels entitled to my child support.
Wait, let's look at the words. Hold on.
I thought the daughter sent the text.
No.
So the first thing I read was like the mom explaining, like, right, hey, this is the issue. What y'all think? It says, my 16-year-old daughter feels entitled to my child support.
Well, point blank. How do you think the child support is yours?
The money?
The support is for the child.
Care for her child.
So then she should have said my support, not my child support.
Or the support.
No, yeah, it's the support, but she's using it as my support.
And she said that specifically to differentiate the fact that the money goes to her and it's supposed to go to her, not the child.
No, but you're not understanding what we're saying.
So essentially, that why she used my and not the, I do understand. No, I think this is how you have to look at it. Think of, like, someone being a custodian of something. That $1,900, the mother is the custodian of that money, and she has to use it in a manner such that
the child that the money is for is taken care of. Yes, $300 from this $1,900 for this kid may go to the groceries, or it may go to the gas, or it may go, to, you know, whatever. But all of that money is, I mean, it's for the care of that child, not the rest of her kids. And it's gonna equal out eventually, because if you get money from the first kid, the second and the third, you know, child support from their fathers, then all of that should be put together and it's equally distributed for like bills and, oh, well, this kid needs that. So their father made sure that money was sent so that they can go on their field trip, so that they can, you know, have their football practice or be in a chess club or whatever. You know, it's really unfair if that $1,900 is being spread across three kids, mm-hmm. because that is for that one child.
Oh, you don't really know if the $1,900 is being spread across three kids, because
that's what she is.
No, but the kids have another father, we're all assuming. And do we not know if they're getting child support?
That's where she got to the point of being fed up, because she is taking
the hit,
her money, and she's spreading it towards the household with the other kids. So just for shits and
giggles, I'll show you the words.
Let's just say that the other two fathers were giving $500. So now it's $2,900 in the household, right? The mother probably works. It's a lot of money coming to the household. Well, just say she works.
She probably works.
Even if it's part-time.
The other kid is less than what she...
That's why I said 500. 500, 500. So it's 2,900, and that's just outside income, outside of her part-time job or whatever she's doing. 2,900, that's enough money for three kids to eat for a month, right?
Right.
To eat for a month.
More than that, but go ahead.
And think. So eat for a month is cool. It's enough for water for a month for four people. It's enough for gas for a month for four people. So where's the rest of the money going to? Plus her money. That's my question.
I think sometimes...
probably the 16-year-old's question, too. Like, I'm just asking you for...
Okay, so my question is...
Can I read
my question is... Hold on, because I just want to respond to something he says just now. My question is, okay, when the money goes to the rent, the light bill, the whatever bill, and everybody's fed for the week, whatever money is left over, should we say... oh, okay, there's $500 left. Let me give it to my child.
Yeah, distribute it across the week.
If they need something, if they need some for school, if they need some for the extracurricular, if they're failing a class and they need tutoring, if they...
No, of course, because that still goes...
That's not the house.
No, that still goes into taking care of the child, which is child support. Right. But I mean giving them the, like, money, liquid cash. No.
If she's asking for something crazy, then no, don't give it to her. But if she's asking for, like, I just want to go to movies with my friends.
Of course, if a parent still has money available for their child, they're going to do for their child.
That's not always the... I think that...
No, hold on. That the kid is making, she's like, every time I ask for something, it's a no.
And that's why she...
I'm sorry, it's very hard for me to believe, because I don't want to stretch the facts. It's very hard for me to believe that she's asking for something outrageous every single time.
Yeah.
I want a new pair of Jordans every month. That's kind of outrageous.
No, it's not. It's only $100. If she's a small size too, you might even get away with $75.
So the point I'm trying to make is that it seems that she's telling the daughter no a lot, and we have to assume that the daughter's not
probably just said no twice in a row and she's dragging it.
I think that we are getting to...
I know kids, bro. I'm just saying, like,
everybody here was a kid.
I know, but say, it's just like...
Is be lying.
And
stress and shit. Like, she's a 16-year-old girl. Like, this shit sounds dragged.
If there was something else the mom had to say about it, like, I pay the bills and I pay the this and I do this and this and this and that, and she asked for something crazy, I think that would have been in there.
Yeah.
She wants to justify why she's saying no so much, or why she has the position that she has with her child.
Or if she was in, like, private school and part of that money goes to the tuition. That's but true. Clearly the mother, just by, and maybe I could be wrong because I'm judging it by the verbiage that she chose to use in these messages, I can automatically sense that some of the money that she's getting, she's using for herself. And I think a lot of times we have to, I would love to have a survey and see how many parents who have excess child support money, right, at the end of the month, that are utilizing it to set that kid up for some type of financial, yeah, financial like leverage as they grow. A lot of times they just say, okay, I got $500 extra. They just start spending it. They don't even know. They may go to Cheesecake Factory with four kids, and now that bill is $200, right? But that $200 came from that extra money that should have been invested into the child. I don't think a
Are you mad that she took the four kids to Cheesecake Factory?
I'm mad that you...
Yes.
On my tab. Yeah, like, I'm mad that you're taking the money off. Sorry. You can't...
Wait, hold on, bad. Y'all child support kids. I think we need to establish that first.
So, I'm not, well,
I'm definitely a child support kid.
We didn't get it, but it was supposed to be given.
I'm good.
Are you a child support kid?
I'm doing it.
I'm sorry. Are you a child support kid? Right. Okay, so
I mean, y'all know I was.
I'm going to speak from someone whose parent actually paid child support. So if there's money left over, and you know, I love my brother. Y'all know that. But if my mom is telling me no for something, and I know there's money left over, and it's going to something that's not for me, I'm going to have a problem with that. And most likely, if I just go ask my dad, he'll just give it to me and not be like, go ask your mama. But a lot of parents aren't like that. And I think that maybe for some people who didn't go through being a child support kid, you may not understand how, like, what the dynamic is between the parents. So again, like you said, daddy probably putting words, you know, or using certain language with her, like, why don't you ask your mama? I just sent $1,900 over there. Baby, I ain't got it. Can you ask your mama? You know, so I just think we have to look at it like in a very like realistic fashion. So in it, because again, I don't think it's a disrespect thing at all. Apparently the girl know how to do algebra at this point. Because she didn't put
calculated.
Two together and figured out how much, you know, is being used for the bills and how much is, you know, whatever. And she clearly knows that money that has come in for her is being spent to the benefit of the other children. And I think that is the problem.
Yeah, like, why should I have to struggle? I don't want to say struggle, but why should I? All right, well, why?
Oh, God, sorry.
As a kid,
yeah. Over her head, she being fed.
No, but that.
Struggle.
But what I'm saying is, like, the thing is, all right, this is real shit. Today, I packed organic juice boxes in my son's lunch, right? And he already gets lunch, plus I pack him a lunch. So he has options. And I said to him, I'm like, yo, why aren't you drinking your juice box? Like, I spend a lot of money on your juice box. He's like, I don't know, I get shot. I said, if any of them little kids say anything, this is probably more expensive than their juice. You better drink this goddamn juice. Right?
He's shy?
Yeah, because, like, it's different from the rest of the kids, right? They might have a Yoo-Hoo, right? But he has organic apple juice, right? So, like, it's
over there, like,
yeah, but he doesn't understand that. And sometimes, like, when you have a 16-year-old in high school, take that same principle and multiply it by two, right? Kids are getting stuff all the time, right? Whether they get it from their mom, their dad, their uncle, grandma, grandparent, whomever. So when you are like, yo, how come, you know, I got these same shoes on since September and it's April and these shoes have ran to the dirt. Yeah, I might have did that. But my dad is paying all the bills. All I asked for one pair of sneakers. And I know that my dad is sending enough money. So now let me watch and see where this money is going. So now I watch and I see you spending it on the other two. And maybe the other two parents don't pay any child support. So now that's why your money's really tight. So now it's like, well, my dad is picking up the tab on your other kids. And now I'm the one suffering because you made poor decisions. And that's where it's coming, that the reality is, this is the situation that you created. This is the situation that you played a part in. And now I am being, things in my life and desires, yeah, I'm being penalized for it. And now you want me to have, I don't find it as disrespectful, but you want me to have sympathy and be conscious of my word choice when I speak to you about what's happening. It's crazy.
And that's why I want to live with my dad.
And that's why I want to live with him. And
like I said, go.
But there's a reason why she's not letting her go. Because if she...
like, I hope that's not the reason.
First of all, let's get out of this mind frame that fathers don't discipline their children and reward them for bad behavior. Because I don't think that that's the case here.
It was for me.
We don't know that.
You said what?
I think it was for me.
Like, I think, like, because being the parent that disciplines can sometimes push the kid away, right? Because at one point I went to live at my grandma's house because I had a blast in the summer, but I had to realize that's not reality, right? So, and I understand that kids go through that, but when it gets to a point where a kid is fed up with you, it's not because, oh, I have a blast at dad's house. It's because I know you for real. I see right through you. And you can't fool me like you fool the outside world, mom or dad. You know what I'm saying? They do it with their dads too. It's not just one side of the spectrum. The kid sees who the parent truly is. And it's like, all right, you could discipline me. And that's why I said before, telling no with reason. If I just say no just to say no, or I say no because of my poor choice of spending. Because
I said so.
Because I said so, right? Like, that doesn't work. Like, and I that's like this. When parents say no because I said so without supplying reason, to me, that equates to the same thing as a cop saying, get out your car, let me search your car. And you're like, for what? And he said, because I said so. Like, everything needs to be supplied with certain reason just for, like, literally just for the kid or for the person to understand what is going on, why am I, what am I doing wrong, how can I do this better, and it's just really a building process. But when you do have that other side of the spectrum, is this just detrimental? Well, I don't know the other parent situation, but if I had to view my own specific situation, it's like $1,900 for a 16-year-old is wild crazy. I think it's too much money. I don't think a 16-year-old requires $1,900 to live.
What?
Yeah. But $2,000 a month for a 16-year-old is wild crazy. So now my real thing is, what am I really?
It's not.
What?
You're talking about? How about?
He has a
one thing.
Yeah. This is for the month. Child support is monthly,
just,
right?
Just,
yeah.
Just for sports.
So you're telling me a kid, a 16-year-old kid is damn near the average cost of rent a month? That's impossible. It's impossible.
Have you ever?
I mean, you soon find out.
No,
like,
because if that was the case, there'd be a lot of kids in here that are really doing that bad if they cost that much. You know what I'm saying? Like,
expensive.
I think that kids are expensive, but of course, but like, you don't have to, like, for example, a growing kid is way more expensive than a kid that's typically around 16 years old that can, you know what I'm saying, basically fit the same clothes for 3 to 4 months, 5 months out of the year.
You talking clothes when you're talking about growing kids.
What other
when
thing?
When you get
okay.
to high school, you know how much stuff there is to pay for in high school?
Okay, so, but let's go through it together then. How much do you think it costs to keep a 16-year-old kid? From
car note.
From six
insurance.
All right, and
your cell phone.
Let's say over here, you can't drive at 16.
You can't?
No, you get your license at 17.
It's still the same.
You can get your permit.
No, your permit, you don't pay insurance on and you can't get a car.
If I have a car that you're driving, I have to add you to my car insurance. My insurance will go high.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you wouldn't do that because a 16-year-old cannot drive without you legally being in the car, and parents don't be driving in the car with their kids.
Yes, they do.
But you can also take it off, though. You can also take it off.
Really, that's a
no.
So I'm.
Yeah, yeah.
I can speak for the state.
But you won't have a car note because you can't. The kid cannot drive without you in the car.
Okay, for the
kids don't get cars until they're 17 here.
When I got my car when I was 15.
God.
And
damn.
I got my car when I was 15, and I could only drive it, you know, like with my dad or whatever, until I turned 16. And so by the time I was, you know, 16, there was already a car note.
Yeah.
There was already insurance. I was out, so I needed a cell phone. 16, I was a senior in high school. So there's stuff that's you got to pay for. There's lunch. There's, what is it? Like, when you do competitions, like drill team. And yeah, you like, rap.
High school is full of, like, sports and, like, clubs. And
yeah, but them shits be
college application.
And I have to say this, my dad did that because I was involved in so much stuff.
He didn't want to drive around.
Somebody had, you know, at some point people were tired of driving me around, tired of picking me up, just get this child a car and she'll figure it out, you know. So, I mean, maybe some parents don't want to do that, but.
Did you work at 16?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Most kids is working at 16.
I did.
So.
But I didn't have to pay anything. I mean,
I mean, like, you're actually, you know, you're
my car.
Your little stupid stuff that you wanted to do. So
parents said it. Your little stupid stuff.
Yeah, your little stupid. Your little mascara on. Whatever the fuck else you want. You want them boots from Forever 21. Yeah. Don't you get paid on Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, you better wait till Friday. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, when you get...
He's definitely working.
You know, so... And me, too. Like, at 16, I was working, too. You, too? Ooh, soon find out. So, now... Okay. With that being said, a lot of the extracurriculars that 16-year-old is taking on themselves, right? Now, the... Whatever is the bottom... Or not the bottom, but, like, the baseline essentials that they need, if you are in a state where you have a car, even if we add the car note at that time, too... I mean, I don't want to add car notes now. It's crazy. But if you add a car note, let's say $300... Right, insurance, another $250. So you have $500. I would say that an honest amount a kid costs is about $750 to $1,000 at 16 years old. And that other $500, they're going to foot the bill while they work. Right? I think that that's probably the average American 16-year-old. So when I get to a point where I'm like, all right, I'm spending $1,900 and my child still has nothing and my child is coming to me every weekend asking me because the mom keeps saying no because the mom either don't got it or she just saying no for whatever reason, I got an issue. And that's when I started telling my child the truth. Like, there should be no reason why my child doesn't have
it. Before we pivot, if this scenario is in, like, real time, like, recent, like, we know the economy. $750 to $1,000 for a 16-year-old monthly, I don't know, that's just wild to me. That's too low.
You think it's a lot?
Oh.
No, that's too low. Off.
Yeah, I don't, he's, no, you're way off.
Y'all buying y'all kids Gucci?
It doesn't even why can't to do be anything
why
like
can't
that.
Why can't be in shoes?
You literally, you said you bought your kids some Jordans.
Relax, that was $75.
I was about to say, he did say $75.
Think about how much it costs to feed a 16-year-old a day.
Oh, you're right. Lying, especially a 60-year-old boy.
What do you mean?
And if, like, if you're calculating...
What's at home?
No, but if you're calculating a whole month...
Yo, what's at home?
Like, there might be 1 week during the month that, you know, you're buying a lot. For this, like, that probably is a whole $750 right there in 1 week.
Yo, when I was 16 years old, at 2:30 we got out of school, right? I had football practice and film till 7:30. So when I got home, it was 8 o'clock. I had one meal, took a shower, and by that time I was going to sleep. That was
real. You had nothing to eat after school at 2:30?
Yeah, I mean,
meal.
You didn't eat in the morning?
No, I mean, I had, like, maybe my breakfast, like, you know what I'm saying? But I might have had my...
That you had to, no, you had to pay for.
No, breakfast, I would have, like, a bagel at the school was, like, $1.50.
$1.50.
Okay, you could add $1.50. Let's do it. That's
$75.
That's $25 a month, okay?
Right. Like, at lunch. You never ate lunch?
No, I had lunch, right?
Yeah, dinner?
Jersey have free-free?
It's huh? Free. I have free-free.
I have reduced lunch, first of all.
I'm about to say, do y'all know what free-free is?
Yeah, free lunch. I reduced lunch.
How about so was that a New York thing?
My lunch was like 50 cents, and I just get whatever. And plus, I was cool with the lunch ladies. We hooked me up, you know what I'm saying? Maybe a couple cookies, you know what I'm saying? But regardless, even if you did add that, right, you're still not spending more than, like, I would say $400 to $500 max a month on food.
Are you doing the total by 7 days or 5 days? What's going on?
I'm going by seven. Because you got to think about it. Kids go to their friend's house. Kids be outside. Kids are, like, I mean, nowadays it's different because majority of kids are sitting in school. I mean, sitting at home after school. Even when I wasn't in school, I wasn't at home. I was somewhere roaming around playing basketball or in the park for hours or sneaking in the girl's crib. Well, I didn't have Uber back then.
We didn't have that.
At 16, I don't know why I said.
But my cousins, they love an Uber Eats. First of all, they won't even ask if anybody's cooking in the house. Uber Eats.
Damn, I didn't throw about.
They got money?
Oh. Okay. That's what I'm saying. So, like, bro, your 16-year-old is working.
$30 a day, 7 days a week.
I was about to
your
say.
Your 16-year-old is making $30 a day
for me. That's how much I got spent to go to school with.
For a kid.
When I was in high school, at that.
So you don't think the kids were.
And that wasn't even enough. I blew through that
$30. You had a pet friend when you were at 16?
Now.
Hold on.
$30 a day.
But wait. Divide that by 30%.
Why?
Because the kid is going to feed themselves 30% of the time.
Where? With, I have a 23-year-old. She still want me to cook dinner.
Well, that's different.
Spend her money.
No, I had my own apartment.
Mom, you cooking? I just want to know before I go buy something.
Like.
That $210 a week times four.
That's 800.
That's 840.
Okay, so.
That's just on eating.
And that's just on food.
Who's spending $200 a week on kids? Y'all better get y'all groceries right.
Are y'all? Yeah. But we
y'all better
y'all groceries. Because if you're
groceries is about two I would say like 2 to 250
for who?
That's what I'm saying.
It was like one.
Even if the money is calculated, figuring out like groceries, no, if you make sure that there's if you're making sure that there's food in the house for your kid to eat weekly, that's still $200.
Costs about $100
in groceries.
Snacks cost about $100.
It's a lot.
Exactly, it's a lot of money. Groceries itself. I just see the stuff like when I'm at home and I see like the stuff that my sister-in-law like buys for my niece and nephew. I'm just like, ooh, it's a lot. Like, just they have raisins at the house, raisins and cookies and yogurt,
a variety bag of chips.
But them shits last longer than a day. So it's like I feed two kids every day right now, and them niggas is in the pantry every second, right? So
but think about 16-year-old boy.
He's not gonna be in the house, bro. Like, he's not in the house. I can't. Yeah, first of all, I will fight my son. Like, get out now.
16-year-old boys eat.
Yeah, but they'll be outside too.
Where? And then all their friends come over?
Nah, I'm not that parent. My mom made it very clear. My house was not the hangout spot for the kids.
You lying. There was just mad kids at your house the other day.
I bought a pizza party for the kids because they want $75.
A pizza for one sitting.
Buy one, get one free. Papa John's, my boy. $13.98.
Yep. Cut the kids eating Papa John's.
There's only two adults in my house, and there's a 2-year-old and a 9-year-old. So they don't even like. They might take two bites and they'd be like, "I'm full," and then try to get a chip.
With two adults in the house, do you find it easier, or is splitting the bills?
What? Listen, I would never be single. Let me tell you something. I will never be single.
Because then you gotta ask for child support.
Well, I don't want no child support on me. Like, that's too. What I'm saying.
I want child support.
No, like,
I do.
Nah, because like it does make
smart. They would go sign yourself up for child support.
It makes sense.
People
like,
think that asking for child support is just like a whole heap of drama, and it's just like it don't gotta be. You need the help, right? I don't even think that. Like when, to be very honest, like when I've had say like my brother or my cousins or whatever, and they're like, oh, you know, such and such pregnant, we're gonna. I tell them straight up, go put yourself on child support, point blank. Don't have nobody threatening you to put you on child support. You know what you make. You know you got to contribute unless you're going to be sorry. You know, go put yourself on child support.
Yeah.
Sorry. I've told so many. No, absolutely. But I feel like women feel guilty sometimes for putting their baby daddy on child support.
Who the fuck do you speak to?
No, I'm dead ass.
You almost triggered me. That was so...
No, because, okay, so no, when you're in a relationship, no, when you're in a relationship, you make a baby, whatever, and say baby is 2 years old, you guys decide to split up, and it's just like you're not getting that support you need anymore because they're not living in the house with you, but you don't want to be like, okay, well, I want to go to the court and put him on child support because...
You know, they skip to that bitch.
Quickly. I put on Skechers and rollerblade right...
Yeah, I feel like...
Will Hillies.
Okay, maybe if y'all relationship ended, you know, badly, and it's a vindictive woman.
Say maybe.
If it comes to lab, it has to end badly, damn near. Like people. Unless,
true.
Well, I would say.
Great segue.
This is where I draw the line. No, I'm kidding.
I'm talking. That was a great.
I know, friend of the thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I think that when the kids do, when a kid is involved and people were actually really together, maybe not married, but they were really together and the kid, you know, is born, blah, 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 blah. When they split up, like it's hard for a mom and a dad to be like, yo, we gotta split up knowing that y'all got a kid. It's not easy. So usually it's ugly.
So do you think that parents should make it work for the kids?
Yeah. I mean... So you're going to have a lot of people that be like, well, I regret, you know, I was with this person for 20 years and, you know, I missed out 20 years of my life, but your child is all right. You know, like your child is going to be in a better position financially not all the time, but on average than if it just had a single parent household. I do believe that wholeheartedly. Like, sometimes, like, and you never know, like, people could lose jobs, people go through hard times and, you know, financially for whatever reason. And if you have somebody there to kind of at least help alleviate some of the struggle for your kids, that's dope. Like, when a parent is struggling, Your kids feel it. And when your kid feels y'all struggling, feels you struggling, and I'm speaking about you being by yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like, they take that stress on too. And you don't notice the damage that you're doing to your child with your own struggle. So, in my personal opinion, yeah, you should try to make it work as long as it's not with the extremes, you know, like where y'all two together are more detrimental than, you know, the struggle of being single. I do think that they should be together for the kid, because a lot of times, and I really believe this, but I don't know how true this is. I don't know if it's a stat or anything, but I really believe that parents fighting to stay together because the children's are involved. Probably
the children's.
Have,
the children's. Children.
My bad.
Because it's like a rock, but then they're going to say,
the children are involved. My bad. The children. I think that.
And don't cut this out, Alan.
Let's chop this out.
He's already trying to save them.
So, but I do think that, and again, I don't know if there's any stat on this. I do think that parents sticking together because there's a child or children involved. Most likely, I feel like kids have saved a lot of relationships, and because people change. So I could be going through this moment where I'm changing as a person, as an adult, my perspectives, my everything, my habits, and maybe in the next moment or the next season, you're going through that moment and you're, you know, changing and whoever you are. And I might not like who you are right now, but in 5 years from now, you know, we're making it work for the kid. Now I like who you've now become. You know, or maybe now you've like who I've now became. And I think that that's dirt when you see parents stick together for the children, because at the end of the day, your children is really what y'all wanted.
Right? Can I ask you a question? Are you saying just two people who are together and not married staying together for the kids, or a married couple staying together for the kids?
I would say it doesn't even matter. I would say both, right, in my opinion. I would say both, because I feel as if a divorce is even more traumatizing for kids than just a split without the marriage. Because, like, when kids go through that whole divorce with you, you know what I'm saying? Versus a separation is usually like a separation. It's not as impactful because money wasn't really involved, and money is not having to be spent for y'all to separate. You know, so I think that, you know, you should stick together for the kids, man. I think it's
so important. This says, being raised in a married family reduced a child's probability of living in poverty by about 82%.
Poverty?
Yeah, below the poverty line, which is what?
Yeah, what's the poverty line?
It's like 27,000. Yeah, like, you know, 12,000. It's under the 28,000.
Live on $12,000?
I'm like, I don't know.
I'm trying to tell you. Y'all talking about $2,000 a month on the kids. Wow.
No, that was a question. They can live on $12,000?
No.
Not much our groceries be costing, but $1,900 seems about right.
It is.
For groceries, $500 a week?
Sam's going to read a general line.
But you got to remember, there was kids that, like, I went to school where there was also a lot of struggling people. You know what I'm saying? So I seen the other side of the spectrum where those kids don't have anything because they only have a single parent, and their other parent is either not there or barely even paying child support, if paying child support, right? So then you see, you know, a lot of these kids and that I went to school with, if I try to say how many of them made something decent out of their lives, I would say only maybe 30%. 30% of the kids.
You think that's due to only having a one-parent household?
I think it's due with that and the entirety of it, the struggle that came from it, the resentment that you've gained towards your parent who is either absent or mistreating you, the environment. But that's what the environment is filled with. You know what I'm saying?
So the environment creates your exposure, and I think that's what the connection is. So, you know, a lot of times you can't do or be something that you've never done, that you've never seen, that, you know, I remember when I was in, I think, sixth grade, and one of my classmates, his dad is the, like, CEO of Texas Children's Hospital in Houston. Literally, he's still the CEO today. And that's, and I don't even know how I found this out. Maybe his dad told me, him or whatever, about being a thoracic surgeon. I had never even heard of it. But now it's embedded in my mind that, oh, if I think about medicine, maybe I'll do it. You know,
Mm-hmm. So exposure and your, like you said, your environment, it creates what you're exposed to. And I can certainly see the connection and how that makes the impact.
But think about it. What is the environment? The environment.
I mean, not great.
But the environment is a bunch of the same people. So it's like, okay, let's say this is my environment. My environment is all made up of single parent homes. Majority of these homes are single parent. Majority of these homes have an absent parent that is non-existent at all. You know, majority of these homes in this entire environment is the same exact situation, you know, or very, very similar. So it's I see that all the time. And that's the flip side is like, you know, parents stay together because, you know, they can't afford the rent. But realistically, if you stay together and you find a way to work within some type of, you know, cordial, I guess, like energy with each other, you teach your children that even though you don't like something, you find a way to make it work. You're showing problem solving skills with your child on a day-to-day basis. Now, again, there are different extremes that I would not recommend it. But if it's just like, hey, look, you have a preference and I have a preference and our preferences just are clashing because now our egos are involved and our pride is involved, find a way to take that out and demonstrate what it's like to actually go through situations and then separate when the kid is, you know, maybe in college.
Can I ask you a question? What do you think, because you're saying you figure out a way in that relationship to move forward somehow, whatever y'all agree on, right?
In the same house? I'm sorry. In the same house?
Right.
You're saying in the same house?
Yeah, together.
Okay. All right.
So I remember growing up.
It depends, though. Like, you know.
I remember growing
up. Same for everybody.
And I remember, I have literally my entire life never seen my dad's parents share a bedroom.
Yeah.
My grandfather had, like, a room and a, you know, like an ensuite or whatever downstairs. And then upstairs was my grandma's room. And in my mind, I kind of thought it was normal until I was exposed to, like, not my other grandparents who did share a bed, but, like, other people. You know what I'm saying? Just, like, outside of my bubble. And TV. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I think that it does affect how you approach relationships with people. Because you might grow up thinking that's normal to be in an unhappy relationship, to be mistreated, you know, to be with somebody that's nagging you all the time, like just to be so unhappy. And I think the problem with being that so unhappy is that it feeds into everything. Mm. You know, you so mad and you so frustrated, you just start yelling at your kid, and all they do is just like spill some juice on the kitchen floor that they can easily just clean up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think because a lot of us don't have that level of like control and discipline and like emotional stability, then it's probably kind of hard for those people to stay in that household.
I really was sitting down and I was thinking, and I'm like, yo, our entire, at least here in America, right? Our entire just ideology stems from relationships.
What you mean?
No one is committed in relationships. So no one is committed to working. No one is able to persevere in relationships. So whenever they face adversity in their life, they just abandon the task and they go on to something else. And I think that we are not taught to push through anything. We're always taught there's something else. There's something that could work for us. There's a better solution out there. And I think oftentimes, nothing is better until you actually learn how to make whatever you have work. And you can spend your entire life trying to look for what's right and end up lost. And when you end up lost, and it's like, okay, cool, well, what do you have to show? It's just going to be nothing but pain and hurt. And now when you have a kid involved, I really believe that when kids watch you, let's say your kid watch you get upset with the father, and then, or the kid watch you get upset with the mother, and then you guys just say, all right, I don't have to deal with this. I'm done. Now that kid grows up to become an adult. They have somebody who's really good for them, but they're going through a rough patch in their relationship. The first thing that they're going to say is, I don't have to deal with this. I'm good. Let's say they get into a point in time where they're in school. Let's say they're in college, right? They've watched their mom or their dad just leave and abandon whenever times got hard. You know, your junior, sophomore, junior years, typically your hardest, you know, years of college. I don't got to deal with this adversity. I'm going to just go get a job. They leave. Then, you know, it's just something that's a domino effect that becomes a behavior for them all the time. So when you have the ability to show your kids from, you know, the ground level, from their from a child, hey, listen, you're not going to like every situation, but that doesn't mean quit on it, you know, until you really, really, really see that it doesn't serve you. That's when you can start to move on. And I feel like we are just so easily able to just say deuces that now our children have grown up and said deuces to everything.
The opposite of what Rico was saying before, staying together for the children because you don't want to quit and showing them the right way. But say you guys do split up and you actually parent your child and you tell them that I didn't stick around for these reasons. And it doesn't even have to get nasty about the exact reasons, and you still tell your child not to quit. That's another option too.
That is, because that's a good point.
Staying together for the child because you don't want him to give up, and kids going to have adversity. It's life.
You know what I think though? Like when you split up and there's a child involved, whether or not you intend to, it's almost like a subconscious thing for the kid that they're going to have to pick a side. They're going to feel, I should say, and they're going to start to pick a side. And I think that when
the side of the one you like.
But that's the problem, because like when you're the other parent on the other side, you start.
You're the parent.
Yeah.
I was about to say, in that time, I feel like it's good for your parenting at that time to be like, I know this is what you feel, but you don't have to feel this way. Mm-hmm. There's no sides. We still love you equally. There's no like.
It's not true. That's like that bullshit that the boomers
why is said. That? But why would that be boomers bullshit?
Like, I love all my kids equally. There's always a favorite.
Okay. No, because now you instead of having one household where the child is, maybe they're unhappy or whatever the case may be, and you guys together, you guys are all, as parents, you're preaching that like that one linear way of parenting. As opposed to if you guys do split up and you're still being a good parent, you're telling them, don't give up and all the good things and all the parental things. You're now getting another side because this person isn't the same person when you guys live together and when your parents live together. Your parents are also different. So now you're getting the side of your father that may have been subliminal because maybe the mother was just overbearing or whatever the case may be. But now you see your father's blooming outside of the relationship. He's grown. He's strong. He's different. And same goes for the mother, too.
You know, I hate, because maybe it's just something that I seen a lot, is that I hate watching parents compete with each other through the kid. One parent finds out that, the other parent bought some sneakers. So that parent wants to go and buy them boots. You know what I'm saying? And then when they...
Those are the kids that love divorce.
Right.
Yeah, but, like, I think that, like, when they're competing through the kid, they're only just competing to have the kid love one more than the other, because when push comes to shove, they want the kid to be on their side. And it's like, you're trying to, like, either, like, buy their loyalty with gestures or buy their loyalty with gifts. And I think that that's not real parenting, and kids end up becoming, like, I guess, unappreciative of things, right? Because it became normal for them. So they can't value certain things. So it's like, and they become entitled, you know, and rotten and spoiled. And those are the ones that I feel like, you know, I've watched become people and have terrible outcomes in their lives because they
expect. Maybe that depends on their age or how much they know. Because I could imagine like a younger kid maybe, but maybe say if you're like a good age, maybe like 13, teenage years. Like, sometimes you can see through that. Like, you can see, oh, my dad is doing this because my mom did that. And now my mom's retaliating and she's doing that. Like, they know. Like, they know the game that their parents are playing.
Yeah, but they're like, we're going to benefit, so I'm going to keep on.
Exactly. But hey, they know that they're benefiting. So sometimes they might just, you know, play along, even though they know what's happening. But I don't really think that for all kids, that means that they're going to grow up being unappreciative.
Well, I mean, like, I just think that it ends up not just unappreciative, but it often ends up in with a negative outcome. I don't think that it really prepares him to be better. I think it prepares him to just be manipulative. So like, just try to manipulate the person to get whatever they can get. And it's like, okay, I know if I put you in a position to compete, right, with this girl, because this girl and all my other girls did this, now you feel like you're competing with my past, or you're competing with my current. And it seems like it's normal for me, but it's really not.
It probably is more so an effect, or a consequence rather, of the parents not parenting. Versus, because the thing, you can give your kid everything in the world and you also parent them, and because you want them to be like productive members of society or whatever. I think that those, all the gifts or whatever that you give, I don't think that is going to negatively impact how they move as a person, because you're still instilling in them like what's right and what's wrong, you know, what not to do and what to do in life.
Yeah, but sometimes parenting, like, I've seen kids get love bombed by their parent, and that's not parenting. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe they just love their kid.
Nah. Like,
nobody loves their kid.
Nah.
I'm like, I'm trying to think. Like, love bombing kids.
You could love bomb your child, and I think a lot of parents love bomb their child to make them child, to trick their child that they love them more than the separated parent. And
they're both separated.
Well, no, I mean, like, the other parent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
No longer lives in the house.
That no longer lives with them. Or, you know, whatever. Let's say parent A, parent B. Yeah, so parent A will rev bomb their child, and maybe they don't buy gifts, but they demonstrate all this affection and all this love, and they just shower them with nothing but rev. Maybe because they, for, you know, other reasons why they don't buy gifts, right? But that's what they do. That's their method. I want to make you feel so loved by me that person can't amount to the love that I give you. And I think that, again, it becomes a manipulative tactic that these kids pick up when they become adults.
Or what if they're just so grateful for their child after the divorce that they just need someone to, you know, put their love into?
Rico's always just like,
I'm so glad.
I lost my husband, but I'm so glad I still got my child.
Because I feel like it'd be like, my bad. Like, there's like, for example, let's say the parent that doesn't deal with the kid on a day-to-day basis, right? They have the kid, let's say, Monday through Friday, and then the kid goes to the other parent Saturday and Sunday, right? The parent that only has them Saturday and Sunday rev bombs their child because they don't have them that often.
And they miss them.
Or they miss them, right? Well, exactly. But now the problem that happens is it's not realistic, because the person now that really has them from Monday through Friday is dealing with a lot of their bullshit, too.
They do the real life.
The real life of the kid.
And a side chick.
Exactly. So now,
by the weekend,
so now I'm the worst parent.
The fun parent.
Yeah, I'm the worst parent because I have you every single day. I don't get really much chance to miss you like the other parent.
Split custody.
No, I think that's the best situation.
Or give the other parent custody.
Okay, guys, this was all for today. Thank you guys for joining our conversation. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe on all of our streaming platforms, and join our YouTube membership, please. It pays our bills, if you guys care. So please join. And don't forget, we're having a live show, 8 at the Table live show for Friendsgiving on November 24th in Brooklyn.
November 21st. It's all good. It's the first, 21st.
I was confused. I was. And I knew I was going to say it wrong. November 21st at 333 Lounge. So you guys go ahead and click the link in our bio and buy your tickets. See you next time.